Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I'd like to talk about the secret of peace. Who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we like to understand how to build peace in any relationship, whether it is a marriage, a partnership, a friendship, or in a care group, in a church, wherever. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 8, fools start fights everywhere. Wise men try to keep the peace. The Bible says clearly that it's foolish to start arguments and fighting all the times. But if you want to be called a wise man and a wise woman by God, you need to be a peacemaker. The wise make the peace, will maintain the peace. Today we're going to look at the step of how to make peace or become a peacemaker in any relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your friends, with friends in the care group, friends in the church, at work, everywhere. But before I explain to you from the Bible how to make peace, I would like to tell you first the misconception about peace. Number one, peace is not avoiding a problem. Peace is not avoiding a problem. Peace is not running away from the problem. Peace is not ignoring that there is a problem. Peace is not pretending that there is no problem. Peace is not sticking your head in the sand or hiding yourself from the problem. A lot of people try to avoid the issue. A lot of people say, don't talk about it. Don't stir up the water. Don't, you know, stir up the wave. Just don't talk about it. Just hide it. Just bury it. My dear brother and sister, that is not a real peacemaking procedure that the Bible talks about. Turmoil, conflicts, resentment, broken relationship is like, I compare like a termite in a home. If you don't get rid of the termites, eventually the home gonna fall down. The termites gonna eat up the house. The same thing. If you have conflicts with your husband, with your wife, with your friend, whoever around you, I recommend that you get into the problem and deal with it as soon as possible. Don't keep the termites in your relationship, because one day that relationship gonna fall apart. The second thing, the second misconception about peace is not appeasing another person for the sake of peace. What does it mean when you talk about appeasing? It means like this. You can do whatever you want. I follow your way, 100%. You have your way, 100%. I yield to you everything you want to do. My dear brothers and sisters, God does not expect us to be a doormat. God does not expect us to be a doormat that people can walk on us. God doesn't want us to be controlled by anyone, to be demanded, to be manipulated. God doesn't want codependency. So, you could notice one thing, that when even Jesus himself, when he was walking on earth, he never backed off on any truth when people challenged him. He was not a doormat that anyone can run all over him. He did not appease to any person. God does not want us to be a doormat. My dear brother and sister, if you try to shuffle the problem under the carpet, if you try to please people all the time, what happens when you do that? You swallow up all that bitter inside you. The bitter things inside you eventually gonna eat up your stomach and you're gonna explode one day. That's how relationship is exploded. Because you keep yielding, even though you should not. You should deal with the issue and eventually the problem explode. Amen. How many people have done these two things? You appease sometimes. You say, oh, whatever. Or how many people try to ignore the problem? Keep ignoring. How many people have done that? Today, I'm going to tell you the five steps of how to make peace. P-E-A-C-E, peace. Number one, the first step, Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go, everyone say first. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. So the first thing we need to do to be a peacemaker is to plan a peace conference. When you have problem or conflict with anybody, how soon should you try to resolve the conflict? ASAP. As soon as possible. The Bible says clearly here that when you come to the altar and you know that you have conflict with somebody, you go to that brother first before you offer the gift to God. Or this Saturday before you come here, before you start to worship God here, you should start to think, who I have problem with. I should call that person and resolve the problem as soon as possible. I should make a peace conference right away. Jesus tried to tell us that we must be the one who take the initiative. We must be the one who take the first step. Don't wait for another person to make a first step. You make the first step. You go first. The Bible says first. So you go first. Make the first step to make peace. Make the first step to say, can we sit down and eyes to eyes talking today? Jesus said that. If you are a believer in this room, if you are a born again Christian, Jesus demands you, Jesus commands you to say, take the first step. Take the initiative. Don't wait. If something happened in your relationship, go and make a peace conference as soon as possible. Peacemakers always take the initiative. Amen. Sit down and talk about it. Take the first step. Schedule the time. Schedule the time and sit down and have eyes to eyes talking. You know, when you want to set up a time, I want to give you a recommendation. Don't set up a time that is good for you. Set up a time that's good for them. For example, don't go and try to talk to your wife when she is tired and she is ready to go to bed. Don't try to talk to your husband when he is so tired and just come back home and hungry and haven't eaten anything all day. That is not the right time to talk. You need to find the time of talking, the right time for the other side, not your side. That is a mature man, a mature woman. Amen. Don't talk to people while they are tired, while they are hungry, they are so sleepy, they are full of stress. You need to find the right time to communicate. When people are hurried to do something, you know, sometimes I was so busy trying to solve the problem with my patients, and somebody called me up and said, we need to talk to you right now. I said, can you wait? I cannot talk to you right now. I cannot communicate with you because I have something to do right now. That is not a good time for me because I'm dealing with another issue at that point. That's why lately when I make my own habit, when I make a phone call to anyone, I ask this question first. This is Dr. Lau or Pastor Lau. Do you have a few minutes for me? I ask that question first. You know why? Because I don't want to call somebody and that person is so busy with something and I try to bring my issue to that person at that minute. You need to be sensitive to that person. Amen. So think of the person right now that you need to reconcile with. Anyone, your wife, your husband, your dad, your mom, go home tonight or tomorrow, call that person and say, can I have time with you? What is your appropriate time? Number one, plan a peace conference. Everyone will say at the same time, I plan a peace conference. Number two, empathize with their feelings. Empathize with their feeling. I like this scripture very much. First Peter, we should read this scripture every Sunday morning, every weekend. First Peter chapter 3 verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Do you have compassion for one another? Love as brothers. Be tender hearted and be courteous. So the Bible says clearly that we need to be tender hearted. We need to be empathetic. sympathetic. You need to be caring. So when you sit down with the person that you have conflict with, whether your husband, your wife, your pastor, your care group leader, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your kids, whatever, you sit down, you already plan the peace conference with that person, maybe your teenager, your partner, whatever. The first thing you need to do, let me teach you, you must listen. Listen first. Don't talk first. You don't try to get your points across. You listen first. Let's just listen to them. Why? Because when you listen, you show that you care. People don't care how much you know. But they want to know how much you care. And if you show that you care, then you can talk to their life. But if they realize that you don't care, you just want your point get across, and you don't care about their feeling, they will not listen to you. So the starting point of peacemaking is to listen. Is to listen, because if you care, you will be aware and you will empathize with their feeling. You want to touch their feeling first. You let them say their peace first, instead of trying to dump your peace into them. You know, what is the difference between sympathy and empathy? Sympathy saying, I am sorry that you hurt. But empathy say, I hurt with you. The Bible say in Romans chapter 12 verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Empathy mean, I weep with you when you weep. I feel with your hurt. I hurt with you. So if you hurt, you want to feel the hurt, you need to listen first. Amen. Sometimes when I have conflict with my wife, the only thing I did, which is to listen. I just sit there and let her talk. She can talk for 15 minutes, half an hour. I just sit and listen. And then the problem resolved. I don't have to say anything. It's over. She let her feeling out. She let her gut out. The feeling is over. Now she's happy that she can talk to me. Amen. I just sit there and listen. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. In the same way, you husband, hey husband, listen, must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding. You need to treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner. Don't treat her as a doormat. Don't treat her like a slave. Treat her as an equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. So, the same thing. You need to listen to your wife. You need to pay attention to her feelings. You know, men and women are different. I'm not trying to look down on anyone. Men tend to be logical. Have to do this and that and this. Reason. Logical. 1, 2, 3, 4. But when you talk to women, that's how I feel. I don't care about logic around here. I don't care. This is how I feel. A psychologist say like this. I don't want to mention the name. Despite my 30 years of research into the feminine soul, I have not yet been able to answer the great question, what does a woman want? That's what a psychologist, not me, this is a psychologist saying. Not a Christian psychologist, this is a non-Christian psychologist. You need to listen until you get it, until you get what she wants, until what she feels inside her. Amen. You should try to understand your wife. That's what I'm trying to do every single day. I try to understand my wife. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 15 verse 2. We should please others. Everyone say others. We should please others. If we do what helps them, we will build them up in the Lord. So our job is to empathize their feeling. We should help others. Not you first, they first. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4. in New King James Version, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In Philip translation, none of you should think only of his own affairs, but consider other people's interests also. Interests are the thing we need to be, we need to empathize with. We need to empathize with other people's interests, not your own interests. I want to tell you the secret of how to make peace. Amen. The word look out in Philippians, New King James Version, the word look out in the Greek come from the word scopio, which in English is the word scope. The scope on the rifle, the telescope, the microscope, the stethoscope. What is the meaning scope? The meaning of scope means to focus. When you put the stethoscope on the heart of the patient, boop, 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 you put focus on that part of the body only. When you look at the microscope, you put focus on that part of the subject that you look at. Scope means focus, aim at, pay attention to be considerate, to take heed. So, if you want to make peace, the second step besides sit down and face-to-face talk, you need to focus on his or her needs first. His hurt, his feeling, his wants, his doubt, his fear, whatever or her, you know, you need to listen to that person's need first, not your need first. Look out. Scope, scopio. Focus on the other side. Then that is empathize. To empathize with somebody. What I'm talking here is not our natural tendency. That's why we need the grace of God. Because our natural tendency is that if somebody hurt our feeling, we're going to talk first. I have to blow my mouth first. I'm going to blow my idea first. I'm going to talk first. You shut your mouth, okay? This is how I feel. If you get mad at somebody, if somebody hurt your feeling, the natural way is that I'm going to have to talk. I face this all the time in the church. People come to my face as a pastor and look at my face. I don't like this. Come to me. And don't allow me to talk anything. Just, so I just get shot when people get upset. So, turn around. Focus on the other side. Focus on your friend needs. Your spouse needs. Amen. Sit down. Make peace conference. And then deal with the issue by listening to that person first. You listen first. Great conflict. Great conflicts produce great understanding and produce great intimacy. If any relationship has no conflict and never resolve the conflict, there will not be a great understanding. So when you have conflict, actually if you learn how to make peace out of it, have an understanding, then the relationship will be even stronger. Then you will become even more intimate. Because you resolve the conflict, then you understand the other side even more. You know, in the past 25 years of my marriage, I have so many conflicts with my wife, and we still have it today. These past few days, we have some conflict. I want to sell something, she doesn't want to sell. So we kept talking this conflict. But we try to resolve it. But after we resolve the conflict, the understanding will be even greater. Our intimacy will be even better. We will love one another even more because those conflicts will bring out the understanding later on because we can communicate and talk. Amen. So don't be afraid of conflicts, but learn how to be a peacemaker. So number one, let's say at the same time, plan a peace conference. Number two, empathize other people's feeling. Number three, P-E-A now. A, attack the problem, not the person. We always attack the person, is that right? You attack the problem in your relationship honestly. You get to the problem, don't beat around the bush, don't attack the person, be straightforward, be candid. Be honest. But when you attack the problem, you get to the root of the problem. Don't beat around the bush. You get to the root of the problem. But I want to teach you something. I want to give you a recommendation. You do it with love. Amen. You need to attack the problem without attacking the person. A lot of time, we attack the person. We don't attack the problem. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10, in Living Bible, bold reproof leads to peace. In NLT, say, a bold reproof promotes peace. Just be bold to pick out the root problem and deal with it, and it's going to bring peace to you. Facing the fact of life, the Bible says clearly that if you know the truth shall set you free. The truth means two things, the Bible, which is the truth, and the truth of your life. Amen. I teach this lesson in the demonology one time, that so many people don't know that they are demonized by demon. And they never accept the truth, so they never get set free. You need to accept the truth that I have problem. This is the problem. Don't lie to each other. Don't try to ignore the problem and bury it somewhere or try to hide the problem. Just bring the truth out. Just be honest with the problem. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. So don't lie to your wife. Don't lie to your kids. Don't lie to your spouse. Don't lie to your friend in the church. Be honest. Because if you lie, if you don't become honest to the problem, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt the relationship. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. By speaking the truth in a spirit of love, we grow up in every way in Christ. So don't pretend that you don't have a problem. Be truthful. But speak the truth in what? Love. Let me hear out loud. In
love.
Speak the truth in love. And the truth shall set you free. Be honest. You cannot be persuasive by being abrasive. You cannot put your issue across if you cross that person all the time. Amen. You cannot fix the problem unless you fix your heart first, that you must be a loving person. Don't use this way in communication. Don't be sarcastic. Don't nag. Keep nagging. Amen. Don't judge. Don't criticize. Speak in the spirit of truth. Watch your mouth. Some people like to sarcasm. I want to just say a little bit, just make him hurt. Nag a little bit to make him feel upset or hurt, whatever, him or her. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed. Amen. So be positive. Be realistic, but at the same time, be optimistic. You have to be both. Be optimistic and realistic at the same time. Amen. If you say something offensively, it will be received defensively. So don't use offensive word. Don't use sarcastic word. Amen. Right now, I learned something about being a pastor. I just talked to Victor and Lorena, tried to train them to be a pastor one day. I said to them like this, on the pulpit, on the stage, I can say 3 sentences to make all of you mad and walk out of this church very quickly. But at the same time, I can say 3 sentences that make every one of you say, oh yes, I agree with you, in the same topic. I can choose to say sarcastic word. I can choose to say word that make you upset. Or I can choose to use word that help you and help you to grow. So you choose your word. Amen. Let me suggest 7 things that you should not do. How many people want to hear 7 things? Number 1, never compare. You should be like my sister. You should be like the wife of my elder. Don't compare, period. Amen. It's unfair to compare. Don't compare your spouse with anyone. She is unique anyway. He is unique. Number one, never compare. Number two, never condemn. You should be ashamed of yourself. It's your fault. Every time you use the word you condemn. You should say this way. I believe we have a problem. We. Not you. We have a problem. I too. I am a part of the problem too. It seemed to me, not it seemed to you. Don't condemn. You say, I feel. You don't say, you must. Don't point finger. That is condemnation. Number one, don't compare, never compare. Number two, never condemn. Number three, never command. Let a doubt be a doubt. You cannot command an adult. You need to persuade. You need to encourage an adult. Never end any argument by force. You must do that, otherwise I will not sleep with you tonight. This is a command. I make it very clear so that you understand what I'm talking about. Number four, never challenge. Don't threaten people. If you do that, you're going to see what happened to us. Many marriage couples use three things to threaten one another. How many people want to know? Three things to threaten. Don't threaten. Don't challenge. Number one, people use money to threaten one another. Number two, they use sex to threaten one another. Number three, they use the word divorce. I'm going to divorce you. How many people have that experience? Yeah. Money, sex, and divorce. So don't use those things to threaten one another. You build up, you don't tear down. Amen. So number one, never compare. Number two, never condemn. Number three, never command. Number four, never challenge or never threaten. Number five, never condescend. Never belittle. Never ridicule. Never play psychologist. Oh, I know why you do this. You cannot make it. You are so dumb. This is ridicule. This is belittle. Don't condescend people. Never. Amen. Number six, never contradict or never interrupt while another person is speaking. Never interrupt. Number seven, never confuse. What it means, confuse. You bring up unrelated issue to sidetrack the problem. You know, sometimes I notice husband and wife fight, they talk, and eventually the wife win. Because the wife is correct. And they fight, they argue, and the wife win. And you know what happened? The husband will bring up the issue that happened 20 years ago to shoot back. You remember 20 years ago you did that to me. Oh, now you bring up the old unrelated issue to talk about. That will not bring peace into your home at all. Never confuse. Amen. Don't do these seven things. Amen. Number four. So number one, plan what? A peace conference. Number two, empathize the other person's feeling. Number three, attack the problem. Never attack the person. Number four, cooperate as much as possible. Everyone say, cooperate. As much as possible. Look for areas where you can cooperate. Try to find areas of common ground that you can agree. Where you can be flexible. Where you can meet in the middle. I give this sum and you give this sum. Try to be a little bit compromise. Without compromise, you cannot build any relationship. I compromise with my wife all the time. I compromise all the time. You know why? Because relationship is more important than who is right and who is wrong. In your own eyes. I'm not talking about biblical right or wrong. I'm talking about your own eyes. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 18, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So in other words, the Bible says, do every possible thing on your own part to live at peace with everyone. Let's say at the same time, I will do every possible thing on my part to live at peace with everyone. Look, I'm going to read from James chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. How many people want to have wisdom? How many people want to be dumb? How many people want to be wise? Okay, the Bible says in James chapter 3, wisdom is peace-loving and courteous. It allows discussion. It's willing to yield to others or compromise or flexible. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It is wholehearted, straightforward, and sincere. Peacemakers will plant seed of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. How many people want to be wise? Be a peace-loving. Yield. Plant the seed of peace. Amen. Allow discussion. Mean listen. Allow discussion. You listen to the other side. Don't just shut them out all the time. No, I don't want to listen to you. My way is right. Get out of here. No, don't do that. That doesn't build peace at all. Amen. Be considerate. Be flexible. More marriage die from inflexibility than from adultery or abuse or alcohol or anything else. I know one couple that divorced, and I tried to give them counseling. This happened about 16 years ago in our church. They are not here anymore. They divorced just because the wife cannot spend money well and cook well. But actually, it's not the wife's mistake. It's just because the husband is not flexible at all. I got to do this way, period. No other way. And you know, you cannot live with another person without flexibility. You need to be flexible. It's going to cause divorce in due time. Amen. So cooperate as much as possible. You know, some people say like this, oh, we have to depart, we're going to have to divorce because of incompatibility. People use that word all the time in divorce. We are incompatible. I wonder why they get married from the beginning, if they are incompatible. They should know even before they get married. I tell you the truth, I believe from the scripture that almost any two person in the world can try to be compatible if they commit to do it. Amen. If you commit to get along, you can do it. There's no question at all. Amen. If I can get along with Ben, you can get along with other people because Ben and I are so different in thinking. We commit to make it happen, and it's going to happen. Amen. There are five areas of conflict in any relationship. Five areas. I'm talking about general relationship. Number one, money. Number two, kids or children. Number three, sex. Number four, in-laws. Number five, schedule. Five things. Conflict. Schedule conflict. In-law conflict. You understand I'm talking about mother-in-law or father-in-law. You cannot get your way all the time. You cannot get your way all the time. Amen. You should cooperate as much as possible. Plant the seeds of peace and you're going to reap happiness. Be a peacemaker and you're going to get a reward. The reason you marry the person that you feel that incompatible because you tend to like people opposite way. You notice one thing, husband and wife usually opposite. They draw to the person, have a opposite personality. It will drive me nuts. If I marry somebody who is a teacher, like me. But I marry a woman who just so loving and gentle and encouraged. And she is not like go in and say 1, 2, 3, 4 like me. You see what I mean? I love opposite. I love somebody who is opposite from me. So that's why you marry her. Because it's so opposite. And you will help one another, build one another up. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, chapter 37, verse 37, the man of peace has a wonderful future ahead of him, a happy ending. How many people want to have a happy ending? Become a man who makes peace. Amen. Last one. Number 5. Emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. What does it mean, reconciliation? Reconciliation means re-establish a relationship. Resolution means to resolve every issue. My dear brother and sister, I have learned in the past 2 years that God focuses more on relationship than the issue. If God focused on the issue, I would be in hell a long time ago. But even though I am not perfect, He loved me. And He is willing to use me as a pastor. He emphasized relationship with me. He doesn't emphasize the issue about me. Another teaching say like this, we need to emphasize principle. I don't care about relationship. We need to fix the principle. You know, you have to be careful. If you do that, you are not following God's way. Because God's way, He emphasizes relationship or reconciliation. My dear brother and sister, you will always have conflicts. You will always have issues. Why? Because everyone around you is different from you. You are shaped by God to have different. You are so different in spiritual gift, in heart desire, in abilities, personality, and experiences. You have different backgrounds. Some of you like to eat rice. Some of you like to eat steak. Some of you speak English. Some of you speak Japanese. You are all different. We are all so different. So there are always issues to deal with because we are so different. Amen. It's inevitable to face issues in your life. However, I want to tell you, you can disagree without being disagreeable. You can have unity in the ununiformity. You can love one another, have reconciliation, even though you are different. That is the way of God. God loves the differences. Amen. So instead of focusing on the issue, you focus on relationship. You know, I find out one fact about life is this. When I start to focus on relationship, that I want to be just the best family. I want I and my wife to be the best husband and wife. We love each other so much. I'm going to build my home. I emphasize relationship. I tell you one thing, that when I've emphasized that, other issues in my life are not worth to fight anymore. It isn't worth to fight. It's just a minor thing. Little thing. Who care? You know, who care? Little thing. Because you focus on reconciliation. You don't focus on the resolution. You focus on, I'm going to have peace with my wife. I'm going to have good relationship with my husband. I'm going to have good relationship with my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to fight all these little things and try to resolve the issue. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 say, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what reconciliation means? It means peacemaking. So if you are a peacemaker, you are doing the work of God. Because God says, I want you to have the ministry of peacemaking. Amen? To make peace is the heart of God. We need to learn how to make peace, doing the work of God. Who you need to be reconciled to with right now? Who that person that you need to make an appointment to see? Make an appointment, sit down and listen first. Cooperate as much as you can. Emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. In any relationship, many times it started from parents and children relationship. You get hurt by your dad and your mom. You get hurt, your dad and your mom offend you, hurt your feeling. There is no perfect mom and dad in the world. Every mom and dad make mistake because they are human. But what happens when you get mad at your mom and your dad? You keep the bitterness. You keep thinking about them. You keep being mad at them. Two things can happen to you. Number one, as more you think about them, the more you get mad at them, you're going to draw that character trait out of them. And when you one day you get married, what happened? You act the same way that your parents act to you, to your kids and to your spouse. You act exactly the same way, but you blame your mom and your dad. Because you draw that trait into your life by focusing on their weaknesses. Number two, not only that, you act the same way they act. Instead of focusing on Jesus and draw the character of Jesus, you keep drawing the character of your mom and your dad who make mistakes. Number two, because you carry the resentment all this year, you're going to spit on somebody. You get mad at somebody else, but you're going to throw it on your spouse. That's what happened to many, many marriage couple. You get mad at somebody, you come home and you just throw it to your wife. And your wife become like a garbage can. So be careful. Amen. Did you learn something tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So don't focus on the problem. How can we become a peacemaker? What is the storm in your life right now? What are you having conflict? What people you have conflict with? How do you become a peacemaker? You cannot become a peacemaker unless you have peace inside you first. And where do you get that kind of peace in your heart to help other people? You get that peace from the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace, his name is Jesus. Jesus is called in the Bible the Prince of Peace. And not only that, when you invite him into your life, this Prince of Peace can give you the peace of the Holy Spirit into your heart. I learned in my life, I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not a 20 years old man anymore. I've gone through life a lot. One thing I learned in life, and I see in the Bible, is that you cannot make other people react or do anything. You cannot control people what they want to do. But one thing you can do, you can control yourself. You can make a decision to respond in the right way. I made this decision about 3 years ago. It doesn't matter what other people do to me. It doesn't matter how they react, how they do whatever. I make a decision that I will make peace and I'm going to walk in love. No matter what other people do. I cannot tell them what to do, but I can do myself. I want to be a peacemaker. If your life is filled with anger, anything in your life is going to tick you off. Have you ever seen angry man? You walk around angry man and somebody, something in front of his foot, kick it like this. Get mad. Angry man get mad at everything. Everything tick him off. So don't fill your life with anger. You should fill your life with God's peace. If you fill your life with God's peace, nothing can tick you off. I got bad news in my office all the time. My secretary come into my office and say, oh, that patient call and la, 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 la. And then usually most doctors will say, what happened? I just sit there and I just smile. Okay. We're going to deal with it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. My secretary wonder why I never get mad. I have one reputation in the operating room at Overlake and Evergreen. Every nurse say that you never make Dr. Lau mad in the OR. He never get mad. No matter what happened, something happened, delay, I just still calm and peaceful. You know why? Because I have to have the peace of Jesus on the inside of me. It's like a toothpaste container. When you squeeze the toothpaste container, what come out? What come out? Toothpaste. It's so simple, you don't need to have a PhD. The same thing. If you have peace on the inside of you and the pressure of the world come around you and squeeze you, just squeeze you, the pressure, people come and yell at you, people come and want to punch you, whatever. They squeeze you. What can come out from you? Peace. Because you are so full of peace. But if you fill your life with ego, with pride, with yourself, with your flesh, I can guarantee when the world put pressure on you, something gonna come out. The flesh gonna come out. The yelling, the madness, the anger gonna come out. So I want to encourage all of you here. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. Let the peace of heart that comes from Christ be always present in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:2. Do you want more and more of God, kindness and peace? It's a question. How many people want more God, kindness and peace in your heart? Then learn to know Him better and better. The only way you can be a peacemaker, a peaceful person, is to get to know, have a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. You need to know Jesus. You need to invite Jesus to come into your life. You need to surrender to Him and say, Jesus, fill my heart with the peace of God. Nothing is better than to have peace. Money cannot buy it. Education cannot buy it. Nice car, the sport car cannot help you to have peace. Actually, more headache. More big sport car, more headache. You think you have a boyfriend, you're going to have peace? No, more headache. You have a girlfriend, you think you're going to have peace? No, more headache. The only one that's going to give you real peace is God. And then nothing else matters anymore. Nothing else around you, whatever other people do, you still have peace because the peace of God is on the inside of you. I'd like to encourage all of you tonight to ask Jesus to fill your life with His peace. You can ask. The Bible says clearly, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The Bible said, do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know Him better. Invite Him to come to your life, to be your friend, to be your God. You need to have a personal relationship with God. You need to invite God. My dear brother and sister, as a doctor, I want to tell you right now, that one of the reasons people die early today, one of the reasons people have high blood pressure, diabetes, clog up artery, heart attack, stroke. Nowadays, I see so many young people in the hospital. I see so many 34 years old, 32 years old people have colon cancer, and die young. You know why? Because they don't have peace. Because they are so full of worry, full of anxiety and anger and madness and bitterness. These things eat you up. It opened the door for sickness to come into your life. People ask me all the time, why you look so young? You know, my patient always think I'm only 38 years old. When I tell them I'm 50-something, they say, what? You know why? Because I have peace in me. I don't get sick. I almost never get, I mean, rare, maybe once in 2 years I get a cold a little bit, 2 or 3 days and gone. Because I have peace. It's very difficult for my body to get sick. It's better than anything else to have peace of God. Invite Jesus to come to your life and just say, God, I need your peace. Fill me up. And keep coming to church. Keep learning about Him. Learn to Him, know more about Him better and better every day. The more you know God, the more you trust God, the more you're going to have peace. The reason you become anxious and worry so much because you don't trust God. You worry all the time. Amen. I want to encourage you tonight, all together, to invite Jesus to be the Prince of Peace in your heart. Amen. How many people want to do that? Raise your hand up. Say, God, I need the peace of God. Raise your hand up high. Say, God, I don't want to live in depression. I don't want to live in defeat anymore. I want the peace of God in my heart. Amen. Can we pray together tonight? So why don't we pray? You follow my prayer. Father in heaven, I need your peace, Lord. Fill my heart with your peace. Lord, I want to be a carrier of the peace of God. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ, your Son, is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of all kings. He died on the cross to pay the price for me. He removed the curse from my life and He put the blessing upon me. Oh Lord Jesus, I ask you again, Lord, fill my life tonight.